Hi there, this is Kevin Skinner, pastor at First Baptist Church in Stockdale, Texas, and welcome to our weekly message podcast. If you live in the Stockdale area, then I would invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. to worship with us in person. You can also check out our webpage at fbcstockdale.org. Here at First Baptist, we are a community church with a kingdom mission, and we invite you to join us on that mission. So back in the year 1919, an Iowa ice cream parlor owner by the name of Christian Nelson for the first time made bars of chocolate-covered ice cream. Let's just pause and thank God for Christian Nelson, right? However, it was Harry Burt, the operator of Good Humor in Youngstown, Ohio, that took that idea and improved on it by adding a wooden stick for people to hold as they enjoyed their ice cream. And after realizing that he had created portable ice cream, he hired 12 food vending trucks, and he outfitted them with freezers, and he had drivers begin canvassing the city, ringing bells and selling ice cream to people on the side of the road. And now there's no mistaking it. When we see one coming, when we hear one coming, we know exactly what it is. It's the ice cream truck. So let me pause right here and just ask, what do people think when they see and hear you coming? What do people think when they see and hear you coming? So we're in this series right now titled Walk the Walk, and as we're going through this series, we're simply walking through the book of James. And in many ways, the book of James is a call for us to examine our hearts, to examine our actions, to examine our words, and to first answer the question, am I truly a believer or not? Have I truly surrendered my life to the Lordship of Christ? And if we haven't, then this letter is an invitation for us to surrender to the Lordship of Christ today. But if we have surrendered to Christ, if we would say that we are a Christ follower, then it is a call to faithfulness, that our actions would align with those words so that when others see us coming, when others hear us coming, they know exactly what we are when we're coming. They know that we are a Christ follower. So what do people think when they see and hear you coming? And if you would say, you know what, I say that I'm a Christ follower, but people in my life couldn't tell it by how I live my life from day to day, then I would simply ask the question, why is that? Why is it that your life, why is it that your actions are not aligning with who you say you are in Christ? Have you truly surrendered to the Lordship of Christ? And if you haven't, then just as James does in this letter, I would give you that invitation today to surrender to the Lordship of Christ, that he might begin bringing your attitudes, your words, and your actions in line with who he has called you to be as a believer. And really, this is going to be the heart and the focus of our passage today. As we look at the book of James, we're going to see James dealing with our attitudes and our actions. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to James chapter 3. We're going to look at verses 13 through 18 today. James 3, 13 through 18. And as you're turning there, I want to remind you of what we talked about last week. Last week at the start of chapter 3, James talked about controlling our tongue. And at the end of that section, he said in verse 12, can a fig tree produce olives, my brothers and sisters, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt water spring yield fresh water. In other words, what comes out of us is a result of what's inside of us. Hear that again. What comes out of us is a result of what's inside of us. So back in 1972, inventor Leonard Fish and chemist Robert Cox, they were trying to create a liquid in aerosol spray can form that when exposed to air, it would turn into a foaming hardening substance that could be used as a cast to set bones in case of emergency. And they discovered the perfect formula for that. However, in the process, they also discovered a substance that when it came out of the can, it turned into a ropey substance that shot far across the room. They decided to market this, and it's still sold to children today. Some of you are already said it, silly string, right? So when you have that can of silly string, you press down on that nozzle, what comes out of that can is a result of what's inside of it. So James gives us this clear reminder. A fig tree is going to produce figs. A grapevine is going to produce grapes. Saltwater spring, it's going to yield saltwater. Freshwater spring is going to yield freshwater. Because what comes out of us is a result of what's inside of us. So let me pause right here and ask, what's inside of you today? What's inside of you today? And here's the reality. A fig tree is always going to be a fig tree. It's only ever going to produce figs. A grapevine is always going to be a grapevine. It will only ever produce grapes because that's what it was created to produce. But here's some good news for us today. While we are born into this world with a natural bend towards sin, and therefore we see sin produced in our life, the promise for us is that when we submit to the Lord Jesus when we submit to Jesus Christ as our Lord, the promise is that he will make us into a new creation. In fact, we're told that we are born again. This promise is not for trees, it's not for animals, it's not for any other part of God's creation. This is a promise, it is an invitation only for mankind to come to Jesus Christ and to be made into a new creation. And as a new creation, we have the ability to produce something different because now we have something different inside of us. We have God's Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit in our life. So what's inside of you today? And if you would say that you've never received God's Spirit into your life because you've never submitted to the Lordship of Christ, then let today be the day. Submit to Jesus Christ and allow His Spirit to invade you and to transform you that you might yield something new, because what comes out of us is a result of what's inside of us. So with that in mind, let's read our passage now, James chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. James says, "Who among you is wise and understanding? By his good conduct he should show that his works are done in the gentleness that comes from wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and selfish ambition in your heart, don't boast and deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where there is envy and selfish ambition, there is disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peace-loving, gentle, compliant, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without pretense. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who cultivate peace." Now, as we look at this passage, I want to begin by highlighting that question that James asks at the beginning of verse 13. James asks, "Who among you is wise and understanding?" And as he asks this question, he's really asking a rhetorical question. He's not looking for people to point out, "Yeah, I'm wise and understanding." Rather, he asks this question with the intention of getting the reader to pause and to look within themselves, to be a bit introspective. This is something that I like to do frequently in my sermons, something that I've done already today, multiple times, because I don't like to just stand up here and say, this is what God's Word tells us to do, this is how we should live, this is how we shouldn't live. I like to pause and ask those questions so that you can look within yourself and see, how is my life aligning with what God has called me to as a believer? This is what James is doing here. After teaching on controlling the tongue, and as he gets ready to tell us the type of wisdom that we are to pursue, he asks a question to cause us to look within so that we can see how our lives are aligning with what God has called us to. Now, I want you to hear what James did not ask. James did not ask, "Who among you has a degree?" Now, degrees are beneficial and they can indicate that we are well educated, but they don't necessarily imply wisdom. In fact, back in 2010, when I began seminary, at our new student orientation, one of our professors got up and said, over these next few years, don't just get a degree, get a job at a church. Begin getting experience now. Because when you graduate, you don't want to just graduate with that degree. You want to graduate with experience. Because here's the reality, a degree will grow our education, but experience will grow our wisdom. So James doesn't ask who among you has a degree, he asks who among you is wise and understanding. James also didn't ask who among you has a lot of followers. The Pharisees, they had a lot of followers. They had much respect because of their teaching. They were able to teach the law, but they were not spiritually wise. You see, having a lot of followers may imply that you have charisma. It may imply that you are able to draw a crowd with what you say, but it does not imply wisdom. I'm reminded of what the Scarecrow said to Dorothy in The Wizard of Oz. When talking about wanting a brain, he said, There's an awful lot of people without brains that do an awful lot of talking, don't you think? And I would say there's a lot of people without wisdom that do an awful lot of talking as well. So James isn't asking who has a degree or who has a lot of followers. James specifically asks, who among you is wise and understanding? And because this is a question that James asked in this letter, I think this is a good question for us to pause and ask today. Who among us is wise and understanding? Who in this room, who in this church has wisdom and understanding? And if you would say, you know what, I recognize that I'm lacking in wisdom, or I recognize that I need to grow in understanding, that's okay. I think we could all grow in wisdom and understanding. In fact, I don't believe that any of us is going to reach full wisdom or full understanding until we are made perfect when we're standing face to face with Jesus Christ. And so I would point us back to the instructions that James gave us in chapter 1, verse 5, when he said this, "Now, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives to all generously and ungrudgingly, and it will be given to him." And if you're wondering if God truly means that, go back to 2 Chronicles chapter 1. As Solomon becomes king, God appears to Solomon and asks him, "What should I give you?" And Solomon replies by saying, "Now grant me wisdom and knowledge so that I may lead these people." And after Solomon makes this request, God does just that. God gives him wisdom and knowledge, and he is indeed able to lead his people with great wisdom. God means it. If you are lacking in wisdom, if you're lacking in understanding, you can ask God and he will give it to you both generously and ungrudgingly. And so now that we've considered this question, who among you is wise and understanding, we're going to look at three things today that we see in this passage that will really better help us understand, or really better help us answer this question. And so this call to look within ourselves, to examine our hearts, to examine our actions, this continues as we look at these three points. So the first thing that I want you to see today is that wisdom is self-evident. Wisdom is self-evident. Immediately following this question, who among you is wise and understanding? James says this, "By his good conduct, he should show that his works are done in the gentleness that comes from wisdom." Wisdom is self-evident. So when James says, "By his good works he should show," this is really not an implication that we should try and prove that we are wise. Rather, we will prove our wisdom or lack thereof even without trying. In the 1994 movie Forrest Gump, Forrest said it this way, "Stupid is as stupid does." In other words, stupidity or a lack of wisdom reveals itself even without trying. So, a man by the name of Dustin W. Burns from Springfield, Missouri, was sent home from court with a GPS tracking monitor on his ankle, or an ankle monitor. And shortly after getting home, he discovered how to to remove the tracking bracelet without causing it to short out and alert authorities. And he probably thought he was pretty clever. However, he proceeded to post a how-to video on Facebook to teach other people how to get their ankle monitors off as well, followed by pictures of himself out of state enjoying a vacation, clearly violating his sentence. He was arrested shortly after posting this video. Stupid is as stupid does, right? A lack of wisdom, it will reveal itself without trying, but the same is true for wisdom. Wisdom will also reveal itself even without trying. So let me pause right here and say this. Wisdom is as wisdom does. Wisdom is as wisdom does. If we're truly walking in wisdom from the Lord, it's not something that we have to try and prove. We don't have to show others that we are wise. We just walk in wisdom, and it will show that we are wise. Wisdom is as wisdom does. As James goes on to say, because wisdom is self-evident, it will show in good conduct and by works done in gentleness. Now, the CSB translates that word as gentleness. Other translations translate that word as meekness. And I think for men especially, when we hear that word meek or gentle, we automatically think weak. So I want you to understand something today. Meekness does not equal weakness. Hear that again. Meekness does not equal weakness. The Greek word that's translated there as gentleness or meekness, it does not imply that it's coming from a weak place of resignation. Rather, it's coming from a place of strength with an active, deliberate care. So you've probably heard the phrase, he's like a bull in a china shop or a bull in a china closet. It's often used of someone who is careless and destructive with the way they move or behave. But a few years back on the show Mythbusters, they actually tested out this idiom to see just how a bull would behave in a china shop. And what they discovered was surprising, because trial after trial, the bulls would run through the china shop with such grace, seemingly intentionally avoiding the shelves and avoiding breaking any dishes. Here these bulls are, creatures of great strength, and yet they were intentionally gentle. So let me say it again, meekness does not equal weakness. Being deliberately gentle and careful as to not be destructive with our words or actions, it's birthed from a place of strength, and for the believer, it is evidence of the wisdom that we have. So wisdom is self-evident. The second thing that I want you to see is that the fruit of earthly wisdom is evil. Let's look at verses 14 and 15 again. It says, but if you have bitter envy and selfish ambition in your heart, don't boast and deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. The fruit of earthly wisdom is evil. So if you remember at the start of chapter 3, James said, not many should become spiritual teachers. And James was specifically talking about spiritual teachers. He said, not many should become teachers. He was specifically talking about spiritual teachers. And the reason he said this was because people were looking at the spiritual teachers of that day. They were looking at the respect that these spiritual teachers had and the following that these spiritual teachers had. And so they began to clamor for these positions of being a teacher, not so they could teach from a place of wisdom or calling, but so that they could gain for themselves the respect and the following that these spiritual teachers had. So there's a few movies that Sarah and I will quote with her family from time to time. One of those movies is Napoleon Dynamite. All right, it's a rather silly movie, but in my opinion, it's one of the most quotable movies. And in this movie, there's a scene where a door-to-door salesman is trying to sell a 24-piece Tupperware set to a married couple. And he says he's going to throw in a free gift, a model wooden ship, something they clearly did not need. But the wife leans over to her husband and says, I want that. Right? So as people saw the respect given to these spiritual teachers, as they saw the following that these spiritual teachers had, they were saying to themselves, I want that. And so they began to pursue these positions, not out of calling, but out of bitter envy and selfish ambition. In other words, they were being led by their wants. So let me pause right here and say this. We are not called to be led by our wants. We are called to be led by God's word. We're not called to be led by our wants. We're called to be led by God's word. Now, as we look at the world outside of the church, there are people pursuing their wants. We see in the world outside of the church, we see people pursuing their desires. And the world would tell us that it's wise to pursue our wants. The world would tell us that it's wise to give ourselves over to whatever our heart desires. But Paul addresses this worldly wisdom that tells us to pursue our desires in Romans chapter 1, verse 22, by saying this, claiming to be wise, they became fools. You see, it's the wisdom of the world that says pursue your desires. It's the wisdom of the world that says pursue whatever you want. But while it's presented as wisdom, the reality is it doesn't come from a place of wisdom. It comes from a place of pure foolishness. And while that may be the pursuit of the world outside of the church, among believers, this should not be the case. Because this bitter envy and selfish ambition, this desire to gain some type of earthly standing, it doesn't come from God's word. It comes from the world. We are not called to be led by our wants. We are called to be led by God's word. And so I would simply ask you today, what's leading you? And if you're being led by anything other than the Lord and his word, then I would call you to repentance today, that you would know and walk in the true wisdom from the Lord. So wisdom is self-evident, and the fruit of earthly wisdom is evil. The final thing that I want you to see this morning is that the fruit of godly wisdom is good. Fruit of godly wisdom is good. Let's read verses 17 and 18 again. It says, but the wisdom from above is first pure, then peace-loving, gentle, compliant, full of mercy, and good fruits, unwavering, without pretense, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who cultivate peace. The fruit of godly wisdom is good. So this last Wednesday night was Chick-fil-A night in the youth. And so, amen, yes. Can I get a witness? All right. Palmer, he had brought Chick-fil-A sandwiches and nuggets for all of the youth and the adults to enjoy. And if you weren't there, I don't want to rub it in, but it was good. The Lord's chicken is exactly what my stomach needed on a Wednesday night. So as James talks about what godly wisdom produces in our lives, I want you to hear this. It is exactly what the world needs. It is exactly what the world needs, not just on a Wednesday, but every day. It is exactly what the world needs. The world already has plenty of selfish ambition. The world already has plenty of bitter envy. The world has plenty of people that are out for themselves. And God has called us to something different, that we might be something different in this world. And so as we see the list of things that godly wisdom produces, we see that they are not self, but others-focused. Understand, godly wisdom does not seek to serve self. Godly wisdom seeks to serve others. And maybe you need to be reminded of that today. Godly wisdom doesn't seek to serve self. Godly wisdom seeks to serve others. And as we see these attributes produced in the life of the believer who is walking in godly wisdom, understand we are seeing the attributes of Christ. Christ is pure. Christ is peace-loving. Christ was compliant to the Father's will in going to the cross. Christ is full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering without pretense. and Christ is the one who truly cultivates peace. We are seeing the attributes of Christ. And so what James is really showing us here is that godly wisdom doesn't come from a selfish pursuit. It comes from a place of surrender. It doesn't come from a selfish pursuit. It comes from a place of surrender. And when we surrender to Jesus Christ, the one who already bears all of these good fruits in his very nature, when we surrender to him, he gives us godly wisdom, and he produces these attributes in our life because he makes us a new creation. And what comes out of us is a result of what's inside of us. And so it's only by surrendering to Christ and by becoming a new creation that we are able to truly not just talk the talk, but we are able to walk the walk. And so the question that I have for you as we get ready to close is, have you surrendered to Jesus Christ? Have you allowed for him to become the Lord of your life? Have you allowed for him to make you into a new creation? And if you haven't, then I want to give you the opportunity to do that this morning. And so in just a moment, we're going to sing another song, and this is going to be your opportunity to respond. And if you're here today and you would say, I've never surrendered to Christ, but I'm ready to do that today. I'm ready to make Jesus my Lord. Then as we sing this song, I would invite you, step out of your seat and join me down here. I'm going to be standing right down front. Come talk with me. Come pray with me. Let today be the day that you are made into a new creation by Jesus Christ. You can't do that on your own. Only God can make you into a new creation. Now, maybe you're here and you would say, I've given my life to Christ, but you know what? As I examine my life, I've not been walking the walk. And so maybe you need to recommit your life to Christ today. Recommit to following him with obedience. If that's you, then I would invite you to respond as well. Now, maybe you're here and you would say, I've given my life to Christ, but I've never taken that next step of baptism. I would love to make that commitment with you today, and so I would invite you to respond as well. We can talk, we can pray, we can make that commitment for you to get baptized. We don't believe that baptism saves us, but we do believe that it's something God has called us to do as an evidence of our salvation. And maybe you're here and you would say, I've given my life to Christ. I've taken that step of baptism by immersion. I've been visiting First Baptist Church Stockdale. I believe God's calling me to make this church body my church home, to connect my life with the life of this church. If that's you, then I would invite you to respond as well. I'd love to talk with you and pray with you and make that commitment with you today as well. Whatever it is, though, in these final moments that God is calling you to do, would you respond obediently to him now? Stand with me right now and let's go to the Lord in prayer together.
Thanks for listening to our weekly message podcast. At the end of every service, I offer an invitation to respond, and I'd like to invite you to respond today. If you'd like to make Jesus Christ your Lord, or if you'd like information about membership here at First Baptist Stockdale, then head on over to fbcstockdale.org/respond. Your response will come directly to me, and I'll follow up with you this week. God bless you, and have a great week.